This is Paul Beston, Associate Editor of City Journal, and I'm here with Saul Stern, a contributing editor of City Journal and author of Breaking Free, Public School Lessons and the Imperative of School Choice. Saul has written an important article for the new issue of City Journal, A Marshall Plan for Reading. It's a challenge to New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg and Schools Chancellor Joel Klein to try a new approach in closing the racial achievement gap in education. Saul, welcome.
Glad to be here.
Why don't we start with some background? The racial achievement gap is not particular to New York, but it's certainly very acute here. Why don't you give us some of the sobering figures on this problem?
When we say racial achievement gap, what the economists are talking about is not merely the fact that underprivileged black and minority, other minorities, perform in a lower level academically. That we all know, but which is partly explained by socioeconomic factors like coming from poverty, coming from single parent homes. But a lot of notable economists have looked at the data and shown that even when we hold constant for these socioeconomic factors, there is still a measured gap between the performance of white and black kids in our schools. And this is what all educationists trying to narrow. That's one of the purposes, if it's possible. And that's partly the background to my article.
So the gaps are quite wide, are they not, between white?
Well,
and
yes, they're considerable. The most recent research, actually, by Professor Fryer, who actually works for the New York City Department of Education now, a brilliant Harvard economist, indicates that blacks fall behind whites from kindergarten to fourth grade by the equivalent of 1/10 a standard deviation in each grade. Essentially, that means by fourth grade, blacks are considerably behind white kids, even if they're in the same schools, in the same classrooms, in subjects like math and reading. And these are the really crucial subjects. As Fryer has said, this gap is evident in every skill tested in reading and math, except for the most basic tasks, such as counting and letter recognition, which virtually all students have mastered.
And, of course, Mayor Bloomberg and Chancellor Klein came into office as education reformers. Can you just briefly summarize the history of their approach to the problem? Because initially it looked like they were taking some positive steps.
Well, in the piece, what I argue is that it's not good enough just to have incentives to get kids to study harder, which is one of the programs here in New York, and give them cash payments, that the black-white achievement gap really starts in the very earliest grades. It starts in kindergarten to first grade, and it's particularly acute in reading, which turns out to be the motor of all future academic progress. So black kids come in with half the volume of a vocabulary of words as middle-class white kids, and then they fall further and further behind in reading skills. And what I argue is that there is three decades of scientific research on reading that shows that kids, particularly disadvantaged kids, have to be instructed explicitly and directly in basically phonemic awareness and phonics, how to decode the language, that kids can't learn this naturally. And all the research shows that.
And Bloomberg and Klein's approach to that has been what?
Well, they started out, we thought they were going to favor in his first speech when he announces reforms. Mayor Bloomberg said, we're going to emphasize phonics. But it turned out, ironically, that they handed over control over pedagogy and curriculum to a group of progressive educators. I don't mean progressive politically, although they tend to be left-wing politically, but progressive educators who believe, actually, that kids can learn to read naturally just by immersing themselves in print with just a few cues from teachers. And these progressive educators regard phonics as, they call it drill and kill. They say it's too authoritarian. And they're very opposed to phonics on a philosophical basis.
And Klein
and Chancellor Klein appointed as his first deputy chancellor for teaching and learning someone named Diana Lamb, who's was completely immersed in progressive pedagogy and instituted for all the schools in the system an approach to reading that's called balanced literacy, which is actually a misnomer. It's the use of the word balance is thrown in there to sort of fool parents into believing that the kids are getting some phonics. But all the research shows that balanced literacy has not enough phonics instruction. And although lots of kids can learn to read with a good teacher, even under balanced literacy, the evidence is overwhelming that it's particularly bad for disadvantaged kids, that those kids that I just described are coming in, starting out behind, knowing fewer words, and who really need help in the decoding part of learning how to read.
And that's why you're offering this Marshall
Plan. Well,
what I argue is
this is not something that can be left to chance. There's a whole debate about whether, you know, principals and schools ought to have autonomy in general. I'm in favor of giving a lot of decisions to principals. But reading is so basic that it's not something I think we can leave to chance. We have enough evidence, we have enough science that shows that one particular approach, it's not necessarily one program, there are a number of programs that are based on scientifically based reading research, but there are a number of programs that fulfill those requirements. And I think it's incumbent on us as a society, as a school system, to at least in the area of reading, in early grade reading, to make sure every kid reaches fourth grade and able to read proficiently. I think it's possible by using this approach. And what I propose is for the central administration to, in effect, undertake what I call a Marshall Plan for reading, a sizable investment. I've calculated around $150 million that you take the 300 lowest performing poor schools with mostly kids in poverty, that is lowest performing on the reading test, and you give them the money for any one of three or four different reading programs that have been proven to work, and you even add you make it a bigger bang for the buck, by also reducing class size in those particular early grades so that the teacher can reach more kids and be more efficient in this program. It's $150 million, but we have a $21 billion budget now in New York City education system, so it's less than 1% of the total city budget. And that's not a large price to pay for something that might actually work, so that we don't have a situation where, which is true throughout most of the country, that two-thirds of all inner-city black kids can't read proficiently at fourth grade. And that's virtually a death sentence in terms of their life chances, because kids who can't read adequately in fourth grade will do poorly in not only in reading, but also in social studies and in science and even in math.